What do you think I could have sold this ministry for? My own life. With what I little bit I do know about the Word and how it operates, what do you think you could sell it for? Blow your mind what I was offered. Right. Had a denomination once said I'd worth $2 million to get rid of me. So I said, look, give me $1 million, I quit. He wouldn't do it. I said, for half the price. Isn't that crazy? You know something? You can't buy health with money. You can pay the doctor, you can pay for a lot of other stuff, but you can't buy it. Really, what can you buy honestly with money? Can you buy love? Can you buy peace so you can go to sleep at night? Can you buy joy? Honestly, there's nothing that's worth having that you can buy with it. Really. When it comes right down to the essentials of life. Therefore, there has to be something available to people in this world that is really worth having. And that is the love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. To be born again of God's Spirit, to have God and His Word in your life. He told him, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, verse 21, in this ministry, for thy heart is not right in what? The sight of God. And there is a great record in the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Verse 13. The Jewish Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to where? And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of the money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, the sheep, the oxen, poured out the money changers, overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not your Father's house an house of what? And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Tremendous section. Many of you have seen a picture depicting this. Every picture you have seen is erroneous, wrong. You haven't ever seen a right picture. If you have, bring it. I'd like to print it in the Way magazine and apologize to you whenever I get back headquarters again. You know the picture you've seen? Jesus Christ having a whip in his hand. And there he is, driving the people out of the temple with the whip. Jesus Christ never used a whip on any human being, only in that stupid picture. That's right. When he came to Jerusalem, he found in the temple them that sold oxen and sheep and doves. Nothing wrong, nothing wrong in that so far. Because the temple was the place where the people would come from the outside and they would buy their sacrificial animals. They'd buy those. These were animals that were made available to the Levites and the priests for the sacrifices in the temple. Then why was Jesus so teed off? Because they were cheating the Lord. The Bible, the Word of God, requested that when they brought a lamb, it had to be of the first year and it had to be without spot or wrinkle. It had to be a perfect lamb. What were they doing? They were slipping in second-rate lambs. That's what they were selling. They were taking the first rate lambs and selling them on the market. Then they were taking inferior animals and selling them in the temple. That's what was occurring. The record of this, of course, is written in Malachi, if you ever want to read it. It's interesting. Book of Malachi. He said, "The Lord said, you've cheated me." And he said, "Oh, we haven't. We brought the lambs in here. We got the ox. We have got everything in here like we're supposed to have." Lord said, "You cheat like troopers." And they said, "Lord, where'd we have cheated?" Huh? Lord said, "You didn't bring your tithes properly." Read it. Then he goes on to say, they brought bad animals, sick ones, lame ones, those they sacrificed. Jesus got into that temple that day and he said, "What you doing here?" He found the fellows that were taking the money for it. So he made, verse 15, he made a scourge of small cords. He drove them, the people know. Read it. He drove them who? All out of the temple, both the sheep and the what? The word "and" is the word "both" in the text. What did he drive out of the temple? The sheep and the what? Oxen. That's what he drove out with. That's what it says. That's what it means. And the money changer's tables, what did he do with those? He overthrew them, right? In verse 16, and said, S-A-I-D, said unto them that did the selling, "Get these things out of here. Do not make my father's house a house of what? Merchandising." Second-rate animals for first-rate prices. With the scourge, with the whip, he drove out the animals. Animals don't understand reason to the end where you can sit over here and say, "Look, Fido." Instead of biting Maggie Muggins, bite Eddie. Have you ever tried to talk to a jackass? I'm not talking human beings. I'm talking the other animal. Yeah, and that old Betsy the cow just beats the blazes out of here with her right rear. And you go up behind her and say, "Look, Betsy, you can hear me. You got ears up in front," so she hits you with left rear. You say, "Look, why do you kick?" Talk to her till you're blue in the face. You know what helps her the most? A kick from you. You slug her good. That's like that fellow who hit that mule right between the eyes with a between the ears with a 2x4. Fellow said to him, "That's cruelty to animals." He said, "Well, it's the only way I know to get his attention." In John, he drove the animals out with the whip. Then the tables that do not understand the whip or reason, what did he do with those? The inanimate objects, he just overthrew them. But then men, he said to them, he didn't lay the whip on them. He used his voice. He said to them, "Get out of here!" And they skidooed right now. And that isn't a snowmobile either. They just flipped. So on the animals, he used the whip. On the tables that can't understand a whip or reason, he overthrew them. With men and women who could understand reason, he said, "Look, that's not right. Get out of here. Don't you make this place a house of merchandise." In the 17th verse, and his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." That's just about totally misunderstandable to you. It is to me too. I'll give you the accurate translation of it, and I think you'll understand it. "You have made me courageous to defend your house." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "You have made me courageous to defend your house." Thank God for the boldness, the courage on the part of the people of the Way Ministry across this country. who are interested enough in our country to defend the country that we love. Like Jesus Christ had the courage to go into that temple where all those influential chief priests, high priests, little priests, big priests, everybody else. And he had the courage to defend the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that took courage. It takes courage in our day and time. For all of us in the Way Ministry to stand boldly for what we know to be the truth of God's wonderful, matchless Word. And to defend the country that we have the freedom to live in and to teach this wonderful ministry. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I've called for a day of prayer for next Sunday. And may God grant that we have that courage, that conviction, to hold forth the greatness of God's Word in our country at this time in this hour. Because unless this Word of God is again living and real, there is nothing left. It's only the Word that'll change. And you are the ones in whom this Word has to live.